Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to a very impromptu podcast here tonight. It's like midnight your guys' time. I've got in my hand right now, it's called a Colorado Native Amber Lager. I never even heard of it, but everybody talks about how great Colorado beer is, so I've just been like testing them out, and they're pretty good. I'll tell you one thing before we get into the Big 12 expansion conversation, I'm silently pulling for Colorado State right now. We're at I'm in Estes Park right now. I'm sitting here just outside of my condo. It's not my condo, I don't own it. We're just sitting here for a couple weeks, for a couple days, that is. And looking at the Fall River, it's beautiful. And I've got my old man beside me. What's up, Pops?
Hey, isn't this fantastic? I hope they can hear us for that babbling brook going right down there. It's just unbelievable scene we got right now.
I've been wanting to get you on the podcast for a while, so I figured that it kind of... So are you aware of the joke, like every time I'm gone, that big things happen for Iowa State?
And I heard through the grapevine we had a big good thing happen today.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I'm like, I like to get away just real quick before the season starts all the time. And I really didn't think anything would happen this year at this time because recruiting's pretty much dead. But, yeah, Cam White's commitment. The four-star defensive back. I tweeted today, arguably the biggest commit Iowa State's gotten in 10 years. That doesn't count Alan Lazard. I think I kind of put him on another level. I would go back to, I'm just trying to think of other guys if I put in that category. I think Jake Campos was a very important commitment for Iowa State when they got him. It's hard to, you know, really put where Jake's at right now in his career. He's kind of in that Rhodes plague where all those guys had to play early and then they got hurt. And hopefully Jake can come around and have a really, really good last couple of years. But, man, it's a really big deal, this Cam White deal. Anytime a kid picks Iowa State over those type of schools, you know you're getting a good one. And I guess the biggest thing I like is the fact that it's early and you know he'll probably bring a guy or two with him. That's generally what happens with guys like that. So that's big-time news right there. And I wanted to be able to talk about that just a little bit. And so we were on Pikes Peak, Dad. We were on the summit of Pikes Peak, and then we got down below, and my phone blows up, and it's all these people going, oh, never come back, never come back. And I couldn't believe that one. And then, but it was early this morning when all this Big 12 stuff started to pop. Just a little bit. Have you read anything today? Have you seen anything today other than what I told you about in the car ride?
No, I have not heard anything today.
Okay, so here's the latest. I'm going to take a swig of beer here real quick. The Sports Business Journal reports this morning that the Big 12's television partners are not thrilled, paraphrasing it, with the thought of Big 12 expansion because there's a clause, Dad, in the contract. Well, first of all, before we get into this, how interested are you in this Big 12 expansion stuff? Because I'm obsessed with it.
Well, like, I'm really interested to find out and make sure, because the last time we did it, it was nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
And it looks like Iowa State's in a lot better situation now going forward. And so if what you're telling me, do you think a two-team ad or a four-team ad, or is that still all up
okay.
in the...
So here's what happened today. It was reported by Sports Business Journal that the Big Ten, their Big 12's television partners, aren't thrilled with the thought of them expanding because there's a pro rata in their contract, which so every team that they add, that those television networks have to pay the Big 12 more money, up to about like $800 million or $1 billion. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but that's if they go to four teams. And they don't think that adding those four teams, even though they're going to have more inventory, would be worth that type of money. Well, okay, so I've got a couple of thoughts on this. I'm just going to lay that out, and then we can discuss. First of all, the pro rata is in there, and these television networks signed it. I don't know what they would have thought back when this was signed initially that the Big 12 would have been able to do at that point other than add some of these non-Power 5 schools. And, you know, at this point, a couple of things. One, I don't know why anybody would be surprised by that news that came out today. If you listen to my interview with Jamie Pollard last week, he all but said, you know, we may have to expand to get these television contracts to negotiate with us. So what that told me is that the Big 12's thinking, hey, maybe you guys will pay us not to expand. Maybe that's going to be an option as well. But to me, the market is the market coming around in 2025 when that current television contract comes back around. And, you know, there's a thought out here, well, oh, the Big 12 is going to screw their TV partners, then the Big 12's TV partners can screw them back around in 7 years. Well, why would they do that? Like, the market is the market. I don't see ESPN and Fox, with the rate that they're losing subscribers at this point, being able to bully anybody around when it comes to 7 years. I think that what the Big 12's looking at is a lot what the Pac-12 is looking at this point, and that's going to Netflix, that's going to Hulu, who knows? You know, HBO could be in this game coming up in 7 years. So I just think that the landscape is changing so much. To me, even if the Big 12 does this and ticks off its television partners, which, by the way, I don't think will happen. I think every decision made here will be made with the television partners. I think the Big 12 is going to have a lot more options in 6 years when that television network, when the television deal comes back around. And it's all about strengthening your league at this point. The real key to the Big 12, and that this is where it becomes a little bit stressful, again, is the happiness of Texas and Oklahoma. That's the key to the Big 12's future. To me, it has nothing to do with if they expand right now or not. It's everything to do with Texas and Oklahoma, if they're happy, if they're making enough money, and if they choose to want to be in this league 7 years from now. So I don't know. I guess I took today's news that these television networks are upset. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't know why anybody is surprised at this. Okay, so to answer your question, here's what I think could happen. I think that these TV networks are looking at it, and when you say we're going to add four teams, I think they're like, well, maybe there are only two teams out there that are valuable. I think that it could be a deal where the Big 12 only adds two, and maybe like two football-only schools. Maybe you add Cincinnati and Houston, or Cincinnati and UConn, and then you add Boise and BYU for football only. How's that sound?
Well, that sounds really good. I just don't understand why the Big 12, these TV things, don't want them to expand and all these other conferences have. And, you know, when the Big 10 added Rutgers and Maryland, to me that wasn't all that big of a big deal.
And it was just, yeah, I think it's difficult because we're in like a different world now. When the Big Ten did that, it was all about getting television eyeballs because they had their network, you know, and the Big 12 doesn't have that. So that's why, like, okay, so I tweeted this out earlier, you know, let's see what you think. I think the Big 12 would be dumb not to add UConn now. I've kind of come around on this. I wasn't really into UConn about a week ago, probably, but I've been doing a lot of studying. And so I think that what you have to look at if you're the Big 12 is what are you looking for when this new contract comes back around? Instead of like a television area, I think it's going to be like how many people will subscribe to your Big 12 channel on Netflix. And UConn's basketball brand will absolutely do that. And then there's another reason is I think the ACC, from what I'm hearing, the ACC will likely make a play at UConn in the near future. What are they at, 14 or 15 right now? I don't even know, but it sounds to me like UConn is the final piece to the ACC. And to me, if you can take a chip away from one of your competitors, and all these leagues are competitors, don't fool yourself here. I don't know. I'm starting to come around on UConn. I think we're so obsessed with football, but basketball does matter to some degree. And if you can get a program like that, and think about, like, again, the Netflix thing. What's a lot of the third-tier stuff that's going to be on? women's basketball. Yeah, I mean, you're getting the big, you don't add specifically for women's basketball, but it certainly does help when you can get Gina Auriemma's program. I don't know. I think it's a sexy pick. I really do. And the fact that you could steal one from the ACC, to me, that means a lot.
Well, you give me tickets to UConn women's basketball against Baylor,
yeah,
and I'll go with you.
Heck yeah, man.
That's a big deal. Plus, UConn, you know, they're good in basketball and football. And one of the concerns me about the Big 12 is there's only so many schools out there left.
Exactly.
And we better start, you know, I think Houston's coming.
Sounds like it.
And so we better kind of pick because there's not a lot of great left on the tree.
I think Cincinnati's automatic. Don't you?
Yeah, that'd be good, and they would be competitive in both.
Yeah.
You know, they play with an attitude.
And they got a really nice, like, I've never been to Cincinnati, but I guess it's a nice city, and it's a big media market. And to me, like, BYU is a no-brainer as well. Like, I feel like if you're going to add two, you do BYU and you do Cincinnati. Houston's the one, to me, it's like, you know, I like them. I love Tom Herman. I like their football. But to me, that's the one that makes the least amount of sense now, I guess. I mean, to me, if I had to go in order right now, and I've changed on this, I know, and I'm going to get called out for being a flip-flopper here. I have changed. I think I would go BYU 1, or Cincinnati 1, excuse me, BYU 2. I'd probably go UConn 3, and then I'd still probably take Houston over Memphis. I don't know. To me, that makes a little more it's all about the politics. I mean, if that keeps Texas happy, then I'm fine with adding Houston.
So with the Pac-12, aren't they going through a little bit of grumbling? Is there any
yes.
possibility that we could maybe grab a couple out of that one, or is that too far-fetched?
I think they could. I mean, I think it's a fairly radical idea, but the good thing is that Bob Bowlesby is a Pac-12 guy, and I feel like he's got connections out there, and you're right. Their television situation, in my opinion, is worse than the Big 12's right now. Sure, they have a network, but it's a joke of a network. There's like three or four Big 12 schools that made more money with their third-tier package last year than the Pac-12 network did. So, I mean, I remember when Otzelberger went out to Washington, right? And I wanted to be able to watch some of his games, and I'm like, oh, the Pac-12 network. Oh, if I just up my subscription on DirecTV, but no, can't do that. Like, it's impossible to watch that thing. There's actually spots in California where you can't watch the Pac-12 network. So, to me, I mean, if that's where the TV networks come in, and this is where I think that the Big 12 ultimately gets saved long term, is because I think that ESPN needs revenue. They need inventory. They need games to show, and they want as many of these power leagues as possible. I don't think they want them, you know, feeding on one another. We'll see. I don't know. I'm way in the weeds on this, man. Like, I study this way too much.
So, and
I lose too much sleep over it.
If you go through all the different Power 5 conferences,
yeah.
Let me ask you a couple questions and you can answer. Where does the Pac-12 lay? And I still think that not having a championship game, which we're going to have, will help.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I know for a fact, you know, the type that we're playing, and we play everybody in the conference, and, you know, if Iowa State was in the Big Ten, we wouldn't be at the bottom of the step.
Hell no.
And you look at Iowa's schedule, and nothing
you have no
that.
Idea how many clone fans you just made happy with that.
Well, it's the truth, and, you know, we ought to be proud of what Iowa did, but I said, you look at who they played, and it's like, who did they play?
Yeah. No. I think it's a fair take. Are you excited about the season?
I'm so excited, and I'm really a loyal Cyclone fan.
You're as loyal as they come, man.
And I like to win. I like to be competitive, and I'm loyal to a fault. I was loyal to Paul Rhodes, and I'm so excited about this new coaching staff because, just watching some of the players they're bringing in and who they're getting those players and competing for compared to what it was two or three years down the line. So the other teams that's going after them,
yeah,
and they've taken it up a notch. And I think it was so big when that crew came in together and, you know, they didn't have to waste 6 weeks training on everybody and finding out what was going to go on.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They hit the road running, and I think that they're pretty doggone good, and I don't think they're going to bow down to anybody.
Do you think Joel Lanning's the guy? Like, I think we all think he's going to start. Do you think he's the guy to turn the program around at quarterback?
You know, when he first came in last year, he did give us a spark. I hope, and I've heard through your podcast and stuff, they work with his foot work just a little bit. If we could get him up just a little bit on his percentage,
yeah.
I think he's definitely a team leader, and I think the team's behind him the way it sounds. And, you know, he's a big, tough linebacker playing quarterback, and I think that gives the team a little bit of a image that's
yeah,
and I think Campbell's going to like
kind
that.
Kind of a badass, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite clone?
Ever?
Yeah, ever.
Oh, well.
Either sport. Mine's Jared Homan.
You know what? I've had a lot of, I don't know if I got a favorite. I'm a big Matt Thomas fan.
You are a Matt Thomas guy.
I met Matt, you were doing a radio show outside of the Jack Trice one day, and TJ brought him up for a visit, and mm-hmm. So he was in a golf cart, and TJ had me sit down with him, and we talked a little bit, and, you know, he had a rough couple years, but what he's been through and what he did last year, and I would almost guarantee that he's going to have a big, big year next year, because just the growth of what he's done, and I got a lot of favorite players.
I like Thomas, too. I'm an unabashed Matt Thomas shill.
And, you know, he's a total team guy, and I do think it'll be more of his team next year, and I think it's going to be really fun to watch him. And my favorite sport is whatever sport's in session. So
it's a good clone right there.
And I love watching the girls' basketball, too.
I do, too, man.
And I'm really excited what's coming up. You know, they had a rough year last year, but I got faith in the system that
I like those girls. Jada and Sean are
They're
really good leaders. I think that I feel like, too, what's gone on this summer with the program, with Coach Finley and the lawsuit, I think that the girls are going to rally, too. I really think that on the court it could turn out being a positive, just if you're looking for a silver lining.
I think there's a lot of motivation there, and he's not going to have to talk about it. You know, they
but
just,
he won't. No, he, Bill's going to show up and go to work, and he's going to be focused. And yeah, no, I think it's funny, though. You let off there talking about how loyal of a clone you are. I've kind of told the story about how we used to be Hawks.
Yep.
But I remember the first clone game that you ever came to. It was Ohio.
Yep.
It was my freshman year up at Iowa State, and I was already converted. Like the second I stepped foot on that campus, I was a clone. I was addicted to it. But I remember getting you and Grandma.
Yep, and we took her to that
game. Yeah, we took Grandma to that game. She died not too long after.
Yep.
But we beat Ohio like 38-17. We actually talked about this game on the podcast last week as well. But what was that like for you? Because you were a lifelong Hawk fan at that point.
It was actually, to be very honest, very uncomfortable.
We were in the student tailgate lot too, before the game with my grandma.
That was wild, and I hadn't really seen a lot of that before. And I mean, one, I was tickled that you even got into college in the first place.
That's
and
true.
Then where you went, and I figured, well, we'll see how this goes. And I felt very uncomfortable wearing the colors.
Yeah, but you did wear an Iowa State shirt that day.
No, we did. And you remember,
I made you.
You remember that first year of basketball?
Oh, it was bad.
My brother and his wife are the biggest Iowa fans in the world. And we came up. Iowa played over at Iowa in Ames.
Yep.
And we went to a basketball game. And I know it was like 40 below zero out. And we froze. We got up there. And before we went in, or we talked, and you'd asked me what colors you're going to wear, and I said, well, I'll wear the colors that I think is going to win the game.
Yeah.
And that might not be who I want to win or whatever, but anyway, my wife and I, we both wear Iowa State stuff, and then they wore Iowa, so we set separate, so we were one right after another, and had a lot of people giving us crap. But Iowa State won.
Won, right?
And
that was the John Neal game, wasn't
it? Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And it didn't come natural because I wanted to support you, and then you got involved doing some stuff. Is that done? And we've got to do so many fun things and meet so many quality people that...
Was it when Carper went to Iowa State that finally pushed you over the edge?
And anybody that knew Adam Carper, he was our hometown stud. And what a great kid. And even if he was lousy, he'd have been a great kid. And he was such an inspiration to all the kids. And he had such a great year. And I think he had stardom written all over until that terrible accident.
He started as a freshman.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
And I remember my wife got tickets online for you and I to go out. And we watched him play in Nebraska, which Adam grew up being a Nebraska fan.
Yep.
And it was a double overtime loss, but it was a heck of a game.
That, to me, all these older Clone fans have, these painful games that they'll bring up. Like, to me, the single most painful game that I've ever, watched as an Iowa State fan might have been that game in Lincoln that day.
Yep, because both teams played well at times.
The 2005 season, for those listening.
And then both teams made enough mistakes to let the other one back in.
I mean, I just felt like that whole season was just, one kick to the groin after another.
Yeah.
Because then the next week was Baylor. When Scales and Coleman kept fumbling.
Yep.
Do you remember we were at the Kansas Speedway during that game?
Yeah, we were.
We were watching the Busch Series race. I think that's what it was called at the time. And that was cell phones weren't really...
Remember Iowa State played that Saturday. We were watching Iowa State play K-State. They had that game on Saturday, and then we went to the Cup race on Sunday. You're right, because
you're,
we were playing
a different year.
Yeah, and Baylor.
Yeah,
they came back and got us good. I was kind of ornery that night.
Well, I was getting text messages because we didn't have internet on our phones at that time, and I just remember Mom got really mad at me because I ended up getting. I was really upset because I was getting all those texts, and then. I think I had a few too many beers that night.
Yes, you were. That actually helped, though. Calmed you down a little bit.
Mom got mad at me. I remember. But that whole season, do you remember that?
Yeah, it was heartbreak after heartbreak.
And then the Kansas game at the end of the year. All they had to do was win that game. And that was when McCarney and Barney Cotton started. They would just hand it off to Stevie Hicks right up the middle. They would just start playing that not-to-lose football. When they didn't have an offensive line, so it was really frustrating when you had Meyer to Blythe connection. He had Austin Flynn, and Stevie was a good back, but man, he just didn't have a line.
And then we set out in Nebraska to that 9-7 game, and
sitting
in the south end zone, and we were the only two Iowa State people in that south end zone, and we come out alive, but we behaved, but that was quite a game. I'm not too sure. The most not disappointing was when we lost to Nebraska on that 2-point conversion and had it and dropped it. That might have been because, we grew up close to Nebraska, so we didn't hate them, but there was just that rivalry
speak
thing.
Speak for yourself.
And but that game, I think that's one reason that Nebraska went to the Big Ten, because they didn't want to play Iowa State anymore.
I love it. Yeah, that one sucked, especially being at home.
Yep.
And that was... Because that was back when Nebraska fans could actually travel to their games, unlike now, and they took a lot of pride in that. Yeah. Like that was a big deal for Nebraska fans. Yeah, man, that one sucked too, because Dan Keel, the kid who threw that pass, was a sad deal.
Oh yeah,
a lot of stuff that was going on in his personal life at that time too. That not a lot of people, and I still like Rhodes' call.
Yeah,
I still like the call.
And that's one, I think over the years I missed that. He got more, a little bit more conservative. And I still love Paul, don't get me wrong. But
no, I know.
And then one of the toughest games, even though we won, is we went to a lot of Hawk games while you were growing up.
Yeah.
And then the year that we beat them 6-0 over there. And the way, that's the only time I've been into that stadium.
No, 9-6.
Or 9-6.
The Jake Knott interception game. Yeah.
And that's the only time I've been in that stadium with the wrong colors.
So you were at that game?
Yes, I was.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember.
And it really was uncomfortable. Yeah. And, it was brutal all day. I mean, I got spit on, and I wasn't talking, but I just tell them, you know, you meet me after the game. I said, you know, we don't know who's going to win, but we're not going to give it away, and we're going to show up to play.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was very uncomfortable. I'd never been in a – Nebraska's not like that.
No, it's not.
No, that's a classy place to play. Now, they will meet you, greet you, shake your hand, assuming they're going to kick your butt, and more times than not. That day in Iowa City, it was very uncomfortable.
Interesting.
Before, during, and after.
I haven't had too many bad experiences, and I got a beer can threw at me one time. Some guy knew who I was and didn't appreciate something I had said over the years, but that was about the only problem I've had over that. So what do you? Here's the thing, because like I feel like we can openly talk about this and just be honest about it, because there's a lot of Iowa State fans, especially my generation, who grew up Iowa fans, and then you know. Say you want to be an engineer, or you want to be a vet, or you want to be a farmer. Like you go to Iowa State because now, I mean, Iowa State's got as many, you know, bigger enrollment than the University of Iowa. And I feel like a lot of people are in the same boat. Do you root for Iowa anymore? Like, because you were a huge fan. I remember your basement used to have Hawk wallpaper.
I still got in the corner a light stand with a Hawk deal on it, and. I love my brother, but he remember when you went and picked Iowa
he Ames, wasn't very happy with me for a while.
He didn't talk to you and me very much, and early on, we beat them more than they beat us, and I just feel, in Iowa, you know, they've had a long, good history, but I think some of their fans, they're a little bit cockier than they need to be, and they had a great year last year, let's give them credit, but I'm thinking they didn't.
12-0 is hard to do.
If we run them right to the end of the game last year, and they won their division, and we ended up one from the bottom. What's that tell you?
Yeah. Well, I think Campbell will – the sense I get from Campbell when it comes to that game is he's going to treat it a lot more like McCartney than Chizik or Rhodes.
Yes.
Like, I think that he's going to – and the reason I think that is because of his recruiting. I think that Campbell's going to be recruiting head-to-head with Iowa a lot more – than Rhodes or Chizik did, because they were going south. They didn't really do the, you know, the Ohio Valley. And that's where I think Campbell's really going to try and make his hay. We'll see. You, what about Prohm? You like Prohm?
You know, that first day of that interview, or when he had his press conference, and I didn't really know a lot about him.
Yeah.
But I do trust Jamie Pollard, and I know President Leith had a lot to do with that. And I'm thinking he really seems really nervous. And
yeah,
that has nothing to do with his coaching deal, but I'm thinking, boy, this is a big step for him, and he's got big shoes, or whoever would have had big shoes.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal.
And then a couple weeks ago, you did a podcast with him, and it blew me away. He's just got that comfort zone, and I think after this first year, and he's going to have some quality kids coming back to be leaders, I think the comfort level, it'll be more his system, everything.
Yeah, and I think, too, Mickey, I got to be really careful about how I say this, because obviously Iowa State's better with George Niang. Like, I'm not – but Niang was such a weird type of player. Like, you know, that hybrid, like, he's a weird – like, if you haven't coached him before, it's almost like, well, what do you do with this guy?
Yeah.
And I know that Steve last year, during the summer, like, he was studying how Fred used Niang, because he's like, I never coached a guy like this. He had told me that. I think that this team will almost be easier to, like, draw up a play for, run an offense with. Again, don't take that the wrong way, Fanatics. You would rather have George Niang. I already have my Niang Pacers jersey. I love the guy. But I do think that this may be more suit. This roster will be maybe more suited for Prohm. It's got a little deeper. It's guard-oriented. I don't know. We'll see.
But if our new bigs that will come in and play this year – They won't be have to be scoring a lot of points.
You'll like the Holden kid.
Yes.
You'll like him, I promise.
But I would almost bet you that we're going to play some defense. And I think that our guards, and would you say that looks like on paper we should be able to go deeper with a little bit more depth with quality?
I think so, yeah.
And he'll mix and match. And, you know, the days of the 7-2 center, that's way gone. You don't need that all the time.
Yeah.
And if we get to our hunting, and it seems like some of the guys had, Naz had a good summer league health-wise.
Yeah, I think so.
I know it's not playing against the same, but it's still, he scored 72 points one night. That means you got to make a lot of them.
You know what, One former coach always told me with the summer league, just it doesn't matter what they do inside the arc, because that's against, like, you know, high school kids. But, like, what generally will carry over is their shooting. If a guy's improved, so that's encouraging. I think we had a bunch of guys shooting pretty well.
Yeah,
especially Monte. Monte's got to get that 3-point shot going.
Yeah, but I think Monty's going to be okay. And I
you're going to love Jackson too, Dad. By the way,
Nothing but big out of him.
Yeah, you're going to love him.
You got a rotation out there, and I think last year, I think Matt could have shot more.
Yeah, I do too.
And if they give him, and I do think they give him the green light, but I think his confidence is going to be even greater, that we could have one heck, and I wouldn't you think of a good deal this summer that at least Naz, the confidence that his hip's okay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just that in itself.
Yeah, I would agree.
And he's going to be a leader. So he's probably, was he more of a vocal leader than George out on the court? I mean, he'll.
Yeah, Naz was, he was kind of the guy everybody looked to, even Monte.
Yeah.
That's why it was such a big deal when they lost him, because he was kind of like, George gets a lot of credit for this, and he's very good at it, but he was the, Naz was the coach on the floor. Like, yeah. He was the head motivator out there, for sure. So to get him back is huge.
But if Naz would not be able to come back, and Monty would have gone, you got a whole different team we're looking at.
Yeah.
Well, you got two big-time players, one with... He's going to be a more of a vocal leader probably than anybody, and I still think Matt's going to grow. The Williams kid is going to be great, and if you get some bigs down there that can block a layup once in a while, it could be a fun year to watch.
So what are we thinking? Final Four? National title?
You know, that's you got to have everything go good.
Prohm would kill me if he hears that.
You know, and I think I think we'll make the dance.
Oh,
and okay, well,
do you
think the Big 12 is
no.
They're not going to be as talented.
I think that this Iowa State team, I think that this Iowa State team will be second or third in the Big 12 this year. I think it'll probably be Kansas, Oklahoma, Iowa State, if I had to pick. But what are we talking about? Buddy Hield's gone. Like I know that Lon's been recruiting really well, and he's got that kid who was a freshman last year who's supposed to step right in and be the next Buddy. But, like, I mean, one, they don't have the home court that Prohm does. Iowa State should not lose a game at Hilton next year.
Yep.
They shouldn't. And Oklahoma can't say that with their home court. Iowa State could get second in the Big 12 next year and not be as good as they were a year ago. And if you get second in the Big 12, it doesn't matter. Really nothing else. You're a top 5 to 4 to 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. And at that point, you get hot at the right time and anything can happen.
You know, I think with our preseason schedule looks pretty good, to where you can get some confidence and get some guys, role players going good. And with our home court, and I don't think we're ever going to be intimidated by Kansas again.
No, I don't either.
So that you can, whether they beat us or not, we're showing up to play.
The culture of Iowa State basketball, even if it's not on that level, it thinks it's on that level, which is huge. That's the big hurdle to get past.
Yes, and I do think with, you know, and you got to give the coaching staff for the football a chance to get going, but with what they did in that short period of time last year. And aren't they way ahead on numbers of players down the line compared to the...
The only thing I'm worried about is they just don't have any depth this year, really anywhere. They've lost any sense. So, like, I really like these guys. I really believe in them. I hope that if things don't go well early, that fans don't, like, just get too sour too early. Because I think Paul Rhodes, when he, his last press conference, remember when he promised a bowl game the next year? With what the roster looked like at that time, like I thought they would go 7-5. But like they lost so many like backups and guys who could have pushed to start, and it's like, man, like, I mean, like a guy like Daniel Burton, it's a huge loss.
But
it's a huge loss.
A lot of these injuries.
Josh Thomas?
Is that because they had to play a lot of these young guys
before
they were ready? And then by the time they get to be junior, they're already broke down?
That's the one thing I don't understand. Like, I hear different things from different people. And a lot of people will say, like, with all those injuries on the offensive line, that it was fluke stuff and it was just a lot of bad luck. And, you know, I guess I tend to believe these people. But, man, like... it kept happening one after another. And it was cyclical, though, because, you know, if you lose enough guys to an ACL, well, then their backups have to play, right? Well, when all their backups are freshmen, yeah, and they shouldn't be out there, then they get worn down and then they get hurt. And I think that, you know, a bad trend started 3-4 years ago, and then they just never really recovered from it. But that's just a bizarre deal to me. I mean, how you could have all of those injuries like that is just crazy.
You know, and we need to have a year where the luck kind of goes in our favor a little bit. And I'm anxious to see how that Tom Manning, because he's
a good dude.
And with Campbell being kind of a line guy plus an offensive coordinator, and, you know, they did produce it to Toledo. And I know it's different, but winning football is winning football. And I think they're going to ingrained some confidence in the guys, and if we can get out and get to a halfway good start, even, you know, hopefully we don't just win two games, but if we can win 4, 5, or 6,
yeah,
and then the guys and I think they're believing in it, but until you have results, it's hard to tell if they're going to really.
Yeah, I agree.
And then that's just going to make the recruiting that much easier, too. And hopefully the fans show up this year and give them a chance. And one other thing that I think he's willing to make a few changes. I'm giddy about that white helmet. I saw a picture.
Man, isn't that sick?
I mean, and that white uniform. I mean, that is freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And when these other schools do all these, Iowa State's got to do a little bit of that.
What do you want for the entrance song?
Well,
you a Smoke on the Water guy?
You know, that was more than what I was ever used to growing up. So I thought that was big time. But after all, I want to do is get the crowd into it, and whatever they pick. And
what do you want? Rap?
And I'm not the biggest rap guy, but I'm 61 years old. So,
yeah.
But if they pick one and it works, I'm good with it.
Want people pumped up.
I want people pumped. And, you know, please get into the stadium before the game starts.
Yeah, I'm big on that.
Nothing ticks me off is when they come in and there's 8 minutes gone.
What about when people leave at halftime? Are you anti that? Because it seems like the third quarter that the stadium's always half full.
Well, you know, there was a couple, 3 games last year that at halftime we were sitting pretty good.
Yeah.
And they left at halftime and they didn't get back to halfway to the third quarter, and we're still doing pretty good, and all of a sudden, but I'm thinking that those players see that.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm not a big fan of it. I'm sorry.
It's hard for me to sit here and judge because I'm up in the press box, so it's not, I don't feel like I really have much of a say in that, but you can sense the atmosphere is very different kicking off the third quarter.
You know, and Iowa State's got such great tailgating, but I go to watch the game,
yeah,
more, and I love the tailgating, but let's get our game face on, stay at the game, and then afterwards you can party.
Did you hear Campbell say that he wants to make it the most intimidating stadium in college football?
You know, I heard him say that, and I was on your podcast,
yeah,
with him. That was fantastic,
yeah,
too.
And that got me jacked up.
You know what? I think he believes he can do it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Until he fails, I'm going to go with it.
Yeah, man. I hate to keep bringing it up, but that it was a very cultural experience for me. When me and my buddies went down to Mississippi, you know, like, Iowa State's got a great atmosphere. It's a scale of 1 to 10, it's probably a 6 or a 7. That place is a freaking 12. And so there are little things, and it's not the fans. I mean, Iowa State has very passionate fans.
Yep.
There are things that Iowa State can do, just little tweaks here or there, and they've got the tools to do it now with the two scoreboards, and winning some football games would help as well. So I'm excited. The fact that you have a coach where that's such a big deal to him, I can't wait to see what happens.
But we didn't actually – we had to go to a wedding on that first game last year with Northern Iowa.
Oh, yeah. And that was a terrible
break. And we have seats in the south end zone, but not in the middle section.
Why did you go to that wedding, by the way? Like, why didn't you skip that?
Well, I was a good friend of your sister, so I took one for the team.
Man, that is taking one for the team.
But we sit in a section, just one beside, right down in the middle, which it's good because there's family around. But so when we went to the Iowa game, it was deafening. I don't know whether they turned up the speakers or the crowd was more in it.
Don't you remember when Ferentz complained and they had to turn down the speakers?
Yeah, but it was, and I love that stuff, but my ears were ringing. It's like going to a NASCAR dirt track race, and you come home and your ears are thumping.
And
I don't know whether they turned it down after that. And, you know, one, you got to produce a little bit on the field to – keep the crowd in it.
Yeah.
But, no, that can be, boy, when they turn them suckers up and produce a little bit on the field, it can be intimidating.
Well, man, we've got about 20 minutes longer than we said we would.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry I give you your gift of gab.
This is true. This is true. We'll have to do this again sometime.
Well, I've really enjoyed it. It took a lot of years, but if the ratings come in...
I have a feeling you're going to be very popular.
I can give you a second chance.
You're a guy who, on our bus trips, you've chaperoned buses before, and you're always the guy who people want.
We had fun,
You had your Jock Jam CD?
Oh, God, we had that place rocking.
So what do you think when you hear me come on and rip the Jock Jams? Because you're... Like, if I get in your truck, you had the Jock Jam CD sitting there. I saw it the last time I was in Clarendon.
Yeah, you know, I respect everybody, and they don't have to like what I want, but I drive a school bus for Clarendon, and I take to sports teams all the time, and I play those things.
Kids like it, don't they?
And you wouldn't believe the comments that I get, even from the coaches. And so it works for, and maybe it doesn't work for college, but I have so many good comments. And the first time I did this, many moons ago, we did this, and I took the girls up to play Harlan, and they'd lost a game by 5 points, and Harlan's always good.
Yeah.
So, and I didn't ask anybody, but I knew the coaches, but I didn't say anything. And we pulled in about a half a mile short of the school, and there's a stoplight, and I put that sucker in.
Jacked them up.
And I jacked them up, and the buses lit up. The girls are just texting their folks, and I got in there, and they had a line for me. I'm going down there high-fiving everybody. And my thought was, we lost by 5 points at home.
Yeah.
I can make up that five. And I told the coach who was getting off, I says, I give you 15 points here.
But win the game?
That's what I thought going in. Yeah. And actually, they beat us by 25.
Oh, so who's the Jock Champs?
The theory didn't work, but the girls had so much fun. I've done it for every sports team, whether it's wrestling, football, and I'm going to continue until they tell me not to.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Well, maybe we'll get you on again before the season.
Hey, I'd think that I'd like that.
Yeah, we'd be fine. I have a feeling you're going to be very popular with the Fanatics.
Well, guys, write in and tell him good job, Papa.
Yep. All right. Well, we're signing off. We're here at Estes Park. It's getting late. It's like 12:45 your guys' time right now. But I'm going to go get some sleep. But we'll get this thing posted, and you guys enjoy it. And hopefully nothing else huge happens. I'll be back on Thursday night. I'll be back to work on Friday. So thanks for listening. Thanks, Dad. It's been good, man. Take care.